আলহামদুলিল্লাহ রাব্বিল আলামিন ওয়াসসালাতু ওয়াসসালামু আলা সাইয়্যিদিল আম্বিয়া ওয়াল মুরসালিন আম্মা বাদ ফাআউযু বিল্লাহি মিনাশ শাইতানির রাজীম বিসমিল্লাহির রহমানির রহিম ওয়াসসালাতু ওয়াসসালামু আলাইকা ইয়া রাসূলুল্লাহ ওয়া আলা আলিকা ওয়া আসহাবিকা ইয়া হাবিবাল্লাহ ওয়াসসালাতু ওয়াসসালামু আলাইকা ইয়া নাবিয়াল্লাহ وعلى آلك وصحابك يا نور الله. My dear Islam brothers and viewers of Madni channel, there are countless benefits of reciting Durood and Salam on the best of creation, the seal of prophethood, peace of our heart and mind, the most generous and kind, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. He, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, is reported to have said that whoever recites Salat upon me 50 times a day, I will shake hands with him on the day of judgment. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. My dear Islam brothers and viewers of Madni channel, intentions play an absolutely crucial role in our life. Their importance can be realized from this saying of our beloved Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, innama al-a'malu bin-niyyat, that the actions are dependent upon intentions. Therefore, I make the intention that I record this silsila to gain the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal and for the benefit of the people. You can also make some good intentions to gain some reward. You can also make intentions that I will try to watch this silsila with full attention and remove any obstacles that will come in the way of my concentration. Whatever I will learn, I will try to remember by making notes if possible, and I will try to act upon this information and also convey to others as well. My dear Islam brothers and viewers of Madni channel, welcome to our silsila, The Burning Issues. In this silsila, we try to learn about important social aspects of our daily life that have significant impact, not just on an individual, but also on the family unit, the wider community and the nation as a whole. The aim of this silsila is to develop a basic understanding of these issues so that we can bring a change within us, a change that will be positive, leading to peace and tranquility in our homes and in our neighborhood. In the first part of this episode, we discussed the need for being a good role model for our children and how to discipline our children when they misbehave or make a mistake. In today's part of this episode, Parents as Role Models, we will try to learn about different styles of parenting. And then we will try to learn some general tips on how to be good parents. And I will end the episode with some advice on how to be a good Islamic role model for our children, so that they can become a means of good both in this dunya and the world hereafter. Let us first learn about different styles of parenting. But before I actually go into that, I need to define a little bit about psychology, because most of this silsila is actually gaining psychological principles or understanding psychological principles behind, you know, our behavior or particular things that we do. Psychology is a scientific study of human mind and its functions, especially those affecting behavior in a given context. In modern day psychology, there are four major recognized parenting styles. These are authoritative, neglectful, permissive, and authoritarian. Each one of these parenting styles carries different characteristics and brings about different reactions in the children. It is important to keep in mind that every parent-child relationship is different. And generally speaking, parents may adopt different styles at different times. This is a simple guide to help decode your parenting style and provide general suggestions on how to raise your child to become a happy, responsible, and productive member of the society. First of all, we will learn about authoritative style of parenting. Authoritative parenting is widely regarded as the most effective and beneficial parenting style for children. Authoritative parents, they are easy to recognize because they are marked by the high expectations that they have of their children. But these high expectations, they temper them with understanding and support for their children as well. This type of parenting creates the healthiest environment for a growing child and helps to foster a productive relationship between the parent and the child. How can we recognize that if my style of parenting is authoritative? I will ask some questions and you can actually try to analyze, does that fit with my style of parenting? So the questions that will help us understand whether your style of parenting is authoritative or not. Does your child day have structure to it, such as a planned bedtime, planned time to wake up, planned time for different activities? And there are household rules that are understood by yourself and by your child as well. Secondly, are there any consequences for disrupting this structure or breaking the household rules? Does the child understand that if he were to break these rules, there will be some consequences for this? Does your child understand the expectations that you have for their behavior? And are these expectations reasonable? Do you have a healthy and open line of communication with your child? That is, does your child feel that they can speak to you about anything without fear of negative consequence or harsh judgment? The traits described in these questions, they mark a healthy household with an authoritative parenting style. Of course, parenting styles will naturally need to differ in order to accommodate different children. And you may find that this style does not work for you if your child has behavioral difficulties or other traits that you have difficulty handling. In this case, it is best to adjust your parenting style appropriately. One of the most important traits to emulate in the authoritative parenting style is the open communication style with the child. If a parent can foster the ability to speak to a child without judgment or reprimand, they will be more likely to have insight into the child's life and understanding, providing the child with a deeper understanding of the world around them. The second type of parenting style is neglectful. Now, obviously, the name implies that this is something that is not good. Neglectful parenting is one of the most harmful style of parenting that can be used on a child. If a parent recognizes themselves as a neglectful parent, or if a friend recognizes that they may now a neglectful parent, it is important to understand that those parents and the children involved in this situation, they need assistance so that they can get back on track to have a healthy and communicative relationship within the family. So how can we actually recognize, or how do you know that your friend or someone you know may actually have neglectful style of parenting? Ask these questions. Do you or your friends care for your children's needs? These needs are emotional, physical, and any other needs. Do you have an understanding of what is going on in your child's life? Does the home provide a safe space for the child where they can share their experiences and expect positive feedback rather than negative feedback or no feedback? Do you spend long periods of time away from home, leaving the child alone? Do you often find yourself making excuses for not being there for your child? Now your child's friends, their teachers, are you involved in your child's life outside the home? If these characteristics describe you, and the answer to these questions is yes, 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 or someone that you know that they fit this characteristic, then this family and this child is at risk of being damaged by a neglectful household. Parents who tend towards neglectful parenting styles can be easily helped through education. Neglectful parenting is damaging to children because they have no trust foundation with their parents from which to explore the world. Beyond that, children who have a negative or absent relationship with their parents, they will have a harder time forming relationship with other people, particularly children of their age. If you suspect that you or a friend of yours may be a neglectful parent, it is important to seek help in a way that does not damage the child further or intrude into their life in a disruptive manner. The third style of parenting is called permissive style of parenting. Permissive parents, also known as indulgent parents, this is another potentially harmful style of parenting. These parents are responsive to the emotional needs of the child, but they are not demanding enough. They give in too easily to the demands of the child. These parents, they tend to be lenient while trying to avoid confrontation with their child. The benefit of this parenting style is that they are usually very nurturing and loving. The negatives, however, outweigh this benefit. There are very few rules that are set for the children of permissive parents, and the rules are inconsistent when they do exist. This lack of structure, this lack of boundaries, this lack of rules and routines causes these children to grow up with little self-discipline and little self-control. Some parents, they adopt this method as an extreme opposite approach to their authoritarian upbringing, while others are simply afraid to do anything that may upset their child. So how do you recognize if you are a permissive parent? Do you not have set limits or rules for your child? Do you often compromise your rules to accommodate your child's mood? Do you avoid conflict with your child? Do you have a willingness to be your child's best friend rather than their parent? Yeah, there's nothing wrong in being a good friend, but when you need to be a parent, you have to be a parent. Do you often have to bribe your child to do things with large rewards? The traits described in these questions, they mark an unhealthy, permissive parenting style. It may seem as though this would be a child's favorite parenting style, as it provides a sense of freedom without consequences. However, children crave for a sense of structure in their life to make them feel safe. It is important in a child's development for there to be clear-cut parental and child roles. Permissive parenting can have long-term damaging effects. In a study published in the Scientific Journal of Early Adolescence, it was found that teenagers with permissive parents are 3 times more likely to engage in risky behaviors. This is likely due to their lack of consequences for their behavior. Another damaging effect of permissive parents, they include insecurity in children from lack of set boundaries. These children will have poor social skills, such as they will not share with others, and there will be lack of discipline in them. These children will tend to be more self-centered, and they will not have good academic success because of the lack of motivation. And they will always clash with authority figures like the teachers or other people who may actually then force them to do things. It is important for the permissive parents to begin to set boundaries and rules for their children while still being responsive before it is too late. If enacting new structures proves too daunting, then it is advised to gain help from other people. The last style of parenting is called authoritarian parenting style. Bear in mind the difference between authoritative, which was the first style of parenting, which is the most effective style of parenting, and compare that with authoritarian style of parenting. This is also called strict parenting, or in our Asian language is called Fauji style parenting, army, military style. It is characterized by parents who are demanding, but they are not responsive to the needs of the child. authoritarian parents allow for little open dialogue between parent and child and expect children to follow a strict set of rules and expectations. These parents usually rely on punishment to demand obedience or to teach them a lesson when they misbehave. So what can help us, what questions we can ask to identify that if my style of parenting is authoritarian? Do you have very strict rules that you believe should be followed no matter what? Do you often find yourselves offering no explanations for the rules to your children other than because I said so? Do you give your child few choices and decisions about their own life? You may be dictating everything for them. Do you find yourself utilizing punishment as a means of getting your child to do what you ask them to do? Are you reserved in the amount of warmth and love and nurturing care you show towards your children? These are the important questions that will answer us whether my style of parenting is authoritarian or not. Now, the structure that is provided and the rules that is provided by the authoritarian parent, they are necessary for healthy child development, but clearly they are being overdone in this situation. It is important to balance out the provided structure with open communication so the child knows exactly why it is important for them to follow the rules placed in front of them. Children of authoritarian parents are prone to having low self-esteem. They will be fearful or shy. They will associate obedience with love. They will have difficulty in social situations. And possibly, when they are outside this boundary of parental care, they will start misbehaving. Now, my dear Islam brothers and viewers upon the channel, this was our brief discussion on 4 different styles of parenting. Many of you will relate to more than one of these styles in different settings. However, there will be a significant number of parents who will identify themselves belonging to one particular group. Remember, from the point of view of psychology, authoritative style of parenting is the best style of parenting. Try to adopt this approach as much as possible. I personally feel that this approach is very much similar to what teachings of Islam promote or demand from parents. Let us now move to the second topic, which is some general tips on being a good parent. My dear Islam brothers and viewers of Padmi channel, no one is born knowing how to be a parent or how to be a good parent. It is something we all have to learn on the job, on the go. One of the aim for this episode was to give parents the information they need to make parenting more enjoyable and more effective so that their children grow into healthy members of the society. Therefore, I would like to share with you some tips in this regard. First thing is, appreciate the value of play. Play is critical to all aspects of a child's development, but it is often overlooked as a valuable tool. Play can prevent discipline problems, and it offers a natural way for children to learn, and play is essential in the formation of a positive relationship between parent and child. Physical activity will also ensure that children get the essential exercise to build a strong body and also improve their concentration, their coordination, their confidence, and many other social skills. Play here does not refer to video games or cartoons. These activities, in fact, cause more harm from both physical and mental point of view. So avoid screen play and substitute it with actual physical activities. The second general tip for good parenting is talk with your child and listen to your child. It is important to make eye contact and use gentle touch when communicating with your child. Give clear and consistent instructions, but not too many at once. Remember the importance of non-verbal communication, and we show to hold a child for comfort or to share smiles and hugs. It is crucial that when your child is speaking, you stop all your activities and give him all your attention for as long as he wants it. This will lead to a very strong relationship with your child, and he will share his life with enthusiasm. Imagine if you are talking to someone and he's not paying attention, and instead he remains busy on his mobile phone, computer or TV screen, then very soon you will stop talking to him. I'm sure this person won't become your good friend if he keeps doing the same. This is also true for our children. In this day and age of modern technology, every person in the house seems busy in their world of mobile phone or social media, and this is having really detrimental effect on the development of our children. The third general tip is that build your child's brain and body. How can you do that? Provide healthy meals and snacks and model good eating habits. Now, this may come as a surprise to you, but this is very, very important. Good eating habits. Teach your children the importance of balanced diet with plenty of fruit and vegetable, with least amount of fatty foods, fizzy drinks and poor quality snacks. It is also very important that you set a daily routine in terms of eating at set times with whole family sitting together. Research shows that family meal times have a big impact on how children eat as they grow into adulthood and they start making food choices of their own. One study showed that children who eat meals with their parents, they tend to eat more fruit, vegetables and dairy products than children who don't share meals with their families. Eating meals as a family is key to raising high-achieving, healthy and well-adjusted children. Family meals have been shown to improve academic achievement and self-esteem. Eating together also leads to more interest in nutrition. Learn for yourself what a balanced diet is and incorporate it in your own daily life. Your child will end up having similar eating habits as you. Poor eating practices will lead to an individual who will succumb to serious and disabling conditions like diabetes, heart attack, stroke, high blood pressure, high cholesterol, and many other things like this. While it's unrealistic to expect any parent to be a perfect role model, but try your best to demonstrate good eating habits, and it will positively impact your child. Also, encourage exercise by being active with your child and limiting the time in front of the TV or playing video games. Support your child's efforts in school, in their madrasa, and provide opportunities to learn and explore. The next tip is very, very important and very crucial. Be your child's first source of information. Encouraging your children to ask questions now makes it easier for them to ask questions when they are older. By answering questions from your child with honesty and openness, you can create a relationship of mutual trust and respect that can prevent your child from developing unsafe habits or taking unnecessary risks. This skill is very, very important in this day and age. There is also a religious obligation upon parents to teach their children many branches of knowledge, for example, beliefs and moral values. And to be able to answer your child's questions, you need two things. One is knowledge, and the other is understanding how the mind of your child works, so that you can pitch the information at the right level to help them understand. This will come with practice. However, majority of parents fail on the first skill of knowledge. Being a Muslim, as a minimum, each parent must know the compulsory and further knowledge of Islam. This is the bare minimum. The next general tip to be a good parent is learn how children develop and now your own unique child. When it comes to your child, the real expert is you, the parent. Now all areas of your child's development, physical, intellectual, social, emotional, and moral. You will have to keep a very close eye on your child. Sometimes you need to ask direct questions, whereas at other times you simply sit down and observe your child play. There are many gates that are open to give us exclusive entry into the world of our child. The question is, do we want to get into that life of the child, that world of our child? If you choose not to, then you need to learn a lesson from those parents who complain now about their children not caring about them at all. This happened because these parents showed no interest into the life of their children when they were young. These parents were too busy with their own life and their own priorities. These parents taught their children inadvertently at a subconscious level that you only bother about your own world and don't care about others. Get into the world of your child, share and cherish their memories, and they will do the same for you when you will need it the most. The next general tip is that cherish your child's individuality. Each child is different. You cannot compare them. Support your child's interests and talents. Try to spend time alone with each of your child every day. Praise your children's differences and avoid comparing them or asking why they can't be like the other child or someone else in the family. If you compare your children with each other and ask one of them to be like the other in certain aspects of their life, then this increases the risk of sibling rivalry. And it can cause low self-esteem in the child that you criticize. Our children do have slight, all children do have slight differences in their personalities and skill mix. And both parents and children need to be aware of this difference and utilize these differences to nurture their character. Parents should model and teach good habits and establish routines for their children. Discuss and enforce family rules that work for your household. For example, you can set these rules that each time when someone comes into the house, they give salam on entering the house. When you come in, you take your shoes off and put them at the place where they should be. You need to take, when you take your coat off, you need to hang it where it should be. Set the rule as everyone is going to eat together the main meals. And my dear sisters, also look after your own health as well. If you are tired or ill or just worn out, then in these times you need to realize that there will be times when things will be difficult for you and you may get easily irritable or snappy. Make sure that you also have a routine of eating healthily, getting enough sleep, and taking occasional breaks as possible. Also make time for family activities. A sense of belonging is enhanced when families take time to engage in common activities such as having meals together or sharing tasks and responsibilities, and use family time to discuss need and feelings to solve problems and promote cooperation. And always teach your child what is right and what is wrong. A child's understanding of right and wrong develops slowly from within. Actively teach your children a code of moral conduct and lay the groundwork for them to develop their own moral rules and guide. And we discuss how to do this in the best manner possible in the last part of this episode. My dear brothers and viewers of Patni Channel, we are all Muslims and majority of us may be good parents from worldly point of view. However, significant majority of these good parents may not be an ideal role model for their children when it comes to being a practicing Muslim. The Holy Quran and a hadith of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam have numerous references to the upbringing of our children. Based on the sayings of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ala Hazrat Imam Ahmad Raza Khan alayhi rahmatul rahman, he has written a booklet called Aulad ke Hukuk, The Rights of Children, where he rahmatullah ta'ala mentions about 80 different guiding principles in his booklet called Rights of Children. Let me mention a few of these. Allah says that the first right of children begins even before their birth, and that is for the man to marry a pious woman whose family members display good character because of habits of maternal grandfather and uncle. They affect the child's personality. When a child is born, then immediately recite azan in the right ear and takbir in the left ear. Rub something sweet to the palate of the newborn, as sweet taste is considered a good omen for good character. Perform the akika on the seventh day. If this is not possible, then perform it on any day that is multiple of seven. When you shave the child's head for the first time, then give silver in charity equal to the weight of the hair. And one can give equivalent in money these days. Give your child a good name that has a good, decent meaning. And if anyone names their child Muhammad, then they must respect that child as well. A father is responsible for all provisions of his children, including their safety in all forms. When it comes to spending money, then the first and foremost right is of family members and children. If there is money left over, only then it should be spent on other relatives or poor people. Make sure that you feed your child from halal earnings, as haram earnings will lead to bad habits. Make sure you feed your children what they desire for. Parents should prioritize the likes of their children when it comes to eating rather than fulfilling their own desires. Always be kind and affectionate to them. Kiss them, hug them, and ride them on your shoulders. Talk to your children in a manner which makes children laugh and they become happy and content. Always give them encouragement, affection, and keep a watchful eye on them even when in namaz. Whenever you bring any new fruit, give it to the children first. And sometimes buy for them sweets or other healthy items of food, and never make a false promise just to make them happy. Because a promise even to a child has to be fulfilled from Sharia point of view. And if you have a couple of children, then whenever you give them anything, make sure it is given equally to all of them. And if you have daughters, then start with your daughters first. Whenever you come back from a journey, bring some form of a gift for them, gift for your children. The moment your child starts speaking, teach them the word Allah, followed by the whole kalima, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. When children begin to have an understanding, then start teaching them good manners about respecting others, about eating, about drinking, about speaking, about smiling, about sitting, standing, walking, modesty, respect of parents, respect of teachers, and also teach your daughters at appropriate age about the rights of a husband as well. Teach them the Holy Quran, and once they finish reciting the Holy Quran, keep asking them to revise it on a continuous basis. Teach your children beliefs of Islam as soon as possible. Teaching of beliefs when young will mean that they will be remembered very well. teach your children the love and respect of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as this forms the basis of iman. Also teach your children the respect of the family and all the companions of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Also teach your children the love and respect of religious scholars and awliya Allah, the friends of Allah, as this forms the real sunnah and adorns our iman. And in fact, respecting all of the above will lead to safeguarding our iman as well. When children become the age of 7, tell them verbally to start praying namaz. Parents must also teach their children compulsory knowledge about wudu, ghusl, namaz, fasting, and good characteristics such as tawakkul, trust in Allah Azza wa Jal, qanaat, that is surviving on the bare necessities, zuhud, meaning that not having or not developing this greed of the dunya, sincerity, tawazu, meaning humble, humility, amanat, meaning basically being honest and truthful, sidq, telling the truth, adl, being able to do justice, haya, modesty, and safeguarding their heart and tongue from wrongful acts. Warn the children about the dangers of bad characteristics such as greed, accumulation of unnecessary wealth, love of the dunya, ostentation, big-headedness, arrogance, khayanat, lying, oppression, indecency, backbiting, jealousy, ill thoughts about others. And when teaching the children, always be kind and soft. If they do something wrong, then discipline them at an appropriate time. Never curse them, as this will not rectify them but lead to further problems. Mostly use warnings as display of dissatisfaction on bad behavior rather than giving physical punishments. During the study, give them time to play as it helps their concentration and improves learning. However, never ever let them adopt bad company, as bad company is worse than a poisonous snake. Also make sure that your children do not end up reading these fantasy love stories or novels. When the girls are of the age of 9, make separate sleeping arrangements for them, and do the same when sons become 10 years of age. From this age, start taking special care of your children. They should not attend any functions where there is singing or music or dancing or mixing of men and women with lust and so forth. When they are ready for marriage, help them find a suitable partner. Show more affection towards daughters, as their feelings can easily be hurt. Daughters should be advised to wear jewelry and nice clothes when inside the home so that they get proposals of marriage easily. My dear Islam brothers and viewers of Madni channel, this concludes my discussion on this very much burning issue of the parents as role models. Bear in mind, our children will copy our behavior rather than acting on our instructions. Character of parents will heavily influence the personality of children. We are duty bound to raise our children according to the beautiful teachings of Islam. If we as parents were to become practicing Muslims ourselves, rectify our own weaknesses, and demonstrate this behavior in front of our children, then most likely our children will become responsible and caring members of our society. We will be able to save them from life of sins and crime. One of the best platforms to become a practicing Muslim is a beautiful environment of Dawat-e-Islami. Come and join it, and you will see your life will transform, including the life of your children as well. Keep watching Madani channel. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.